Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am delighted to participate in worship this morning, to see all of you, and to experience once again the beauty of this sanctuary, and also to make it possible for Pastor Bob and Marlou to have some time away. I understand they're visiting her family. I read recently that this second Sunday after Easter is often referred to in some parts of the Christian church as Low Sunday. It can feel that way, and it can even look that way. All the Easter lilies that decorated the sanctuary are mostly taken away, and the fanfares are but an echo of the week before. And there are fewer people present. And the pastor is taking the Sunday off. Last year, I preached for Pastor Mark at Riviera on the Sunday after Easter. He's not taking the day off today, but on Friday morning, when I woke up, I always check the email that has come on my cell phone first thing in the morning. And there was an email that came from Riviera Church going out to all the members of the church that said Reverend Joanne was going to be preaching on Sunday. That was news to me. I was going to be at two places at once. Well, fortunately, right after that, Mark sent out an email to everybody saying, this is a mistake. He said, I'll be there Sunday. Someone has suggested that to be in worship on the Sunday after Easter can feel a little bit like showing up at a party after most of the guests have left, and those who remain report on what a grand time you missed by coming too late. Well, of course, we all missed the first Easter some 2,000 years ago. We can read the accounts, but we weren't really there. We didn't see and touch and experience it for ourselves. Yet even though we missed the first Easter, and even though you have a substitute preacher today, the scriptures proclaim that our Easter journey continues. God has shown us in the resurrection of Jesus that God's word to us is life. Now, in the present, forever. Easter is a momentous event that keeps happening in the church and in our lives. As I told the children earlier, this morning's text contains two resurrection stories: Jesus meeting the disciples on Easter evening, and then Jesus' encounter with Thomas a week later. On Easter evening, Jesus bestows on his disciples his peace, and he commissions them to continue the work that God had given him. A week later, Thomas, who was absent from the first appearance, asks for visible, tangible presence in order to believe. And the risen Christ appears again, offering words of forgiveness and grace. Peace be with you, Thomas. Do not doubt, but believe. And Thomas responds, my Lord and my God. Ultimately, they all had failed Jesus. The one that they had celebrated on Palm Sunday was arrested and mocked and crucified, and they were left watching helplessly from the shadows. And you remember Peter even denied knowing him. Yet when the risen presence of Jesus appeared to his disciples, he came with two Easter gifts, peace and the Holy Spirit. Not only were they forgiven, but they were called to mission, to carry on, to serve others in love and kindness after the example of their Lord. The Gospels report that Christ still comes among us even when we are afraid or hiding or doubting. Bishop Will Willimon once asked his seminary students if they could summarize the gospel in just one sentence, or as few words as they could manage. And so one student said it this way: in the Bible, it gets dark, and then it gets very, very dark, and then Jesus shows up. I recently read about a young woman who experienced darkness in her life. This was in a publication of the Upper Room Disciplines from a number of years ago. And this is her story. In 1998, she wrote, I was a new pastor, straight from seminary, and I was serving a rural 5-point charge in Zimbabwe. So evidently she had to go from one church, five different churches on a Sunday morning. She said, I was naive with no pastoral experience, and I trusted what the people were telling me to do much more than Christ, who had called me. She said, this brought stress and confusion to my life. I dreaded opening the door to start a new day. I would imagine that many of us here have had times in our life where, for some reason or another, we just sort of dreaded opening the door to start a new day. She went on to write, and then one day I was standing in the middle of my house and I heard a voice saying, Beauty, Jesus is right here with you, not as a visitor, but as one who wants to guide you. Immediately, she said, she felt a sense of peace. She said she truly believed that the risen Christ was right there with her and would never leave her. This woman later became the first female dean of the Faculty of Theology at Africa University, and I believe that is one of the universities that the United Methodist Church helps to support. God does not leave us alone in this world without Christ, but reappears in our lives again and again and breathes the breath of life and the breath of hope into us through God's Holy Spirit. I'll share a personal example with you, and I may have shared this story with you before. On the day when my dad passed away, I had just arrived at the care facility up in Santa Cruz when a woman walked into his room. Actually, she just stood in the doorway. I don't know who she was. She may have been a nurse. She may have been the one who served the meals or swept the floors. She asked my dad, who will you be joining when you get to the other side? He answered her, my mother. His mother had died when he was 8 years old. And this woman, whose presence and words had reminded us of God's peace and loving presence, smiled and left. We never saw her again. That was 17 years ago, but I still treasure the assurance that I felt that the risen Christ was with us, welcoming Dad to his eternal home. You and I never know when our love, our presence, our help, our words will be a sign of God's life-giving love to others. The risen Christ shows up again and again to bring new life. Easter continues. Easter keeps happening. God keeps making something out of nothing, raising up life and hope and opportunity for service to those in need. Last month, when Riviera Church served the community outreach lunch, a young woman went through the food line. She wouldn't take much food, and she kept saying to the servers, "I'm fine. I'm fine." After the meal, she asked Andrea, who was in charge of the lunch that day, she said, "Where can I find the nearest ATM? I want to make a donation to help with the ministry to the homeless and the hungry." She went on to explain then that she had been vacationing in Hawaii, and that day she would be returning home to Norway. And since she had a 12-hour layover at LAX, she decided to ride the Metro 232 from LAX to Long Beach. I don't think that's what I would do with my 12 hours at the airport, but it's amazing how God works. On the bus, she visited with some other travelers, and one of them, whose name was Gary, said to her, "We're on our way to church to have lunch with our friends, and we'd love to have you join us." As soon as she entered the room, she realized that it was a community outreach lunch. And she didn't want to embarrass her new friends, the ones who had offered her the invitation to lunch, so she went through the food line, taking as little as possible so the food wouldn't run out. And then she sat down at the table to eat and visit with her new friends. Later, when she presented her donation, she said, "I had such a wonderful time. The food was delicious, and I felt so blessed to be here." As she walked to the door to return to the airport, her table mates sent her off with a wave and a cheer. Blessings have such a wonderful way of multiplying again and again. Some of you may have been aware that I came down with a case of shingles a few weeks ago, and we had to cancel a trip that we had planned. Well, I decided I must be having too much stress in my life, so I bought a book on prayer. Reverend Martha Rowlett has a new book on prayer that is just a lovely book. And as I was reading that, I came across a story about numbers, but I think it's really about blessing. She's telling the story of her next door neighbor, a 4-year-old boy who's learning to count, and he asks his mom, "Mom, what is the last number?" And his mother responded, "Only God knows." A few days later, the little boy came back to report to his mom. He said, "I don't think there is a last number. God is still making numbers." Yes, the Spirit of the risen Christ, God's gracious love, shows up again and again to offer peace and hope and many blessings through our service to others. And the blessings we share have a way of multiplying. I don't know, do any of you ever watch Steve Hartman's On the Road on CBS? A story that we saw a few weeks ago tells of a young boy by the name of Miles Eckert. He was at a Cracker Barrel in Ohio, and as they walked across the parking lot, he saw a $20 bill on the ground. He started thinking about what he could spend it on. He kind of wanted a video game. But then he changed his mind when he saw a young man in uniform. He walked up to the man and he said, "I found this in the parking lot when we got here. We like to pay it forward in my family. It's your lucky day. Thank you for your service to our country." This young boy's dad was killed in Iraq when this little boy was only 5 weeks old. And all Miles has known of his dad are pictures of him and other people's memories of him and his own imagination. Well, the soldier in the parking lot also paid it forward by giving it away. And that $20 has been multiplying ever since. After the young boy's story aired on TV, a lot of people wanted to give Miles his $20 back. But instead of taking any money, the Eckerts directed those donations to Snowball Express, a charity that helps kids who've lost parents to war. And so far, the donations total more than $250,000. Easter continues in many, many ways. The risen Christ leads us into the future with the promise of life and hope. And the Spirit inspires and empowers us to love, forgive, and care for others. The four biblical accounts of the resurrection are very lean. Each tells the story slightly differently, and none provides a detailed account of the resurrection itself. But what we do know is that those frightened disciples cowering behind a bolted door emerged from hiding as fearless followers who could not stop talking about Christ and about what had happened, even in the face of persecution, arrest, and their own martyrdoms. John Buchanan in the Christian Century magazine has written that he believes that what changed cowards into brave disciples was the conviction that their crucified friend was alive. And because death did not defeat him, there was no reason for us to fear anything, not even death. He writes, "What transformed the disciples was the same truth that raised up Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., and it is the same truth that raises up men and women to live with courage and commitment in the midst of illness, oppression, and even as we face our own mortality. Easter continues. Christ is with us. And like the young woman in Africa discovered, we need not dread opening the door to start a new day. Christ lives. Amen.